Okay, welcome back. Episode 4 of these Stonywood Dice Lockdown Diaries. We're flying through these and really enjoying them, actually. It's been really good feedback and fun to reminisce with all the old guys. So today I'm joined by two more golden oldies and spin twins, Brian Cregan and George Nyman. How are we doing, guys? How's lockdown?
Good. Lockdown's good.
Very good.
Just missing the cricket.
Yeah, missing the cricket. Nice setups you got going on there, George. Yes. Books in the background, read them all. Right,
just trying. Just trying to look intellectual for work, but you know.
So today we're just going to take a trip down memory lane and reminisce about the funny stories and most memorable Stonywood Dice games over the years. So to start with, how did you two guys meet each other firstly, and how did you come across Stonywood Dice?
So let's see if Cregan remembers this. Cregan, you want to go? Let's see what he remembers.
I do remember this because I'm at George University. And at the time, Stonywood played their home games at People's Park. So I had been playing, I only moved to Aberdeen for 1 year. I was playing in the grades for a team called Artisans. And George, were you skipper or vice skipper? Was Azzy skipper or you skipper?
No, it would have been Azzy or someone.
But you were maybe vice, and George had said, come along to come, you know, once I'd been playing at uni, come along to Stonywood Dice. And I suppose, as they say, the rest is history.
Wrong. I knew he got it wrong. He's gonna get this wrong. Wrong.
Was that a pub?
No. But we met first. So my first year, I came to Aberdeen in 2001, but in September time. So I kind of missed, in August actually. So we saw a few, when we were walking on the beach, a few games at the beach, and I was like, bloody hell, it's like the har was in, and it's who plays cricket in this weather? So I didn't play cricket in 2001. But 2002, I got asked to play in a grades team called Academy.
That's right.
In grade, I think it was grade two. I think it was grade two anyway. So we had a good run. There's a few good guys there. A few guys from uni played for them. And then nobody actually from uni played for Stonywood Dice. But one of them played for Shire. And they said, oh, Shire's too good. You know, you won't get into Shire. And I said, okay, fine. We're playing the grades. And we heard about this team called Artisans. A bunch of nutters who were like very kind of aggressive, antisocial, kind of beating up people and all this kind of aggressiveness. So I was kind of prepared for this game all season long. So turn up for this game, lo and behold, two guys from one either end, just bowling nonstop. The entire top got blown away. As Cregan was from one end, and this other kind of local at the other end. I think it was Golder or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Graham Golder.
That's the one. Two nutters. And you know, Cregan being Cregan is giving it the big chat, you know, getting everybody out. But nah, I kind of put the the anchor down, saw these guys spell off, and I think we ended up beating them because we kind of got a 150 odd, and it was a pudding, and then we kind of bowled them out. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cregan was like, oh, after the game, he's like, okay, he kind of came and said hello after the game and stuff because a bit of fight and everything, so it was an enjoyable game. And then he turned at the university training nets a few seasons later. At this point, we were already recruited to play for and playing at Stonywood Dice by Sean Kutzer, and when Cregan came to uni, we said, no, you should just come play at Dice, and that's how Cregan came to Stonywood Dice.
Correct, George. You know what, KP, this is the story of my life playing with George. He always corrects me and he's always right, which is the worst thing.
So have you got any funny memories of uni together? Any stories?
Well, I don't think we can mention some of those stories because there was this Leeds trip, you know, where we had to play some indoor sixes and bucks, and we stayed in this B&B, didn't we? Across from Headingley. And he did some naughty things with Nicholas Barron. Remember him? Putting shaving foam in his ear and all that.
I think that's probably not for common consumption.
Yeah, I think we should just stop it at just that level. But let's just say it was a very, very interesting.
George, you remember when the door of the bus fell off when we were still in at King's? We hired a bus to go somewhere. The door, the side door came off.
Yeah,
I think you were the only designated driver. Because you have to remember, KP, that George has been at uni since 1858. with my dad, to be honest. But George was genuinely our only designated driver. And we had no money as a club, really. And we did well. But we got this minibus to go to, I think, St Andrews or Edinburgh. And we went to shut it, and the door just jammed. And someone tried to open it, probably Nick the Baron. This guy was about 6 foot, about 20 stone of muscle, almost ripped the door off. And we had to try and, I can't remember what we did to try and actually replace the door. We got there, but yeah, these are the kind of things that happened to us in our uni days. And I think it's good to remember Stuart Kutzer also went through uni with us as well in the same team. Irvine as well. So yeah.
I'd have loved to play cricket with him, hearing the stories with him. Just came up half cut every week, hit a 67.
I don't think that's fair. I heard that last week. Stuart was never half cut for any game. He was either completely pissed or nothing at all.
That's good. So get on to the Stony Wood stuff then. What's your first memories of Stony Wood? Both of you.
My first season was a pretty good one because Sean came along to the winter session at the university and said, "Oh, you should be playing, you know, for us." And that year, Sean just became the captain as well of the ones. And that's after 10 years, David Lamb had been the captain. Then they wanted to give the youngsters a go, a chance. And Sean was captain. He said, "Oh, you should be playing for us." And that was my first season back in 2003, I think it was. Really good season. We had an overseas pro. First year, it was a good coach, but it's predominantly a batting pro. Sangram Singh, the man scored, I think, a lot of runs for us. Classy bat. And I had a good season because first time I was playing the National League, you know, in those days, not many people could play spin, still not many people can, but I could turn the ball back in the day. And it came through a bit quicker than the slow pies of all these days. It was enjoyable. We had this massive end of, I remember what sticks in my mind is the last game of the season, I think it was in Stenhouse Muir or something, and we had this massive bus and everybody came down. The Gowdies, the Moyers, everybody came down, the Kutzers and everybody. And so it was like a massive piss up on the way back. That's my first season memory of Sunny with Dice.
Great.
Yeah, well, my first game was in the thirds, and I actually have a debut to remember. I was batting at six, where I probably should have batted my whole career, but we'll get into that later. and I was due to go in. I think we'd lost three wickets. And all of a sudden, the corner of my eye, everyone's
watching. Sergeant Trump. When you lose three wickets, Keegan, you should be number five, sure.
Yes, no, but let me finish. No. We've lost three wickets, shall I say. So our number five has now gone in. But at the corner of my eye, I see these two women, a younger woman and an older woman, who are taking pictures of each other, doing some exhibitionism. So I'm now thinking, could I drop down the order to eight or nine and kind of walk around the pitch? So more of that in a second. But we lost our fourth wicket, which meant I came in. See, the maths is good, George. So and my mind was still kind of not thinking. And whoever I was batting with, they went out quite quickly as well. So I'm still trying to watch these two women. I mean, I hope my wife doesn't watch this. And this young kid comes to bat with me. And I was on about five or six. And I said to this little boy, I said, "Listen, do me a favor. Just get a single. Give me the strike and we'll be fine." And he said, no. He says, "I'll hit the ball into the trees for six." And in South Africa, it's called a lighty. And I thought, "Listen, lighty, don't be getting above your station. This small little fat guy." So the first ball, he stands and he swishes and he misses. And I thought, "Oh, God." And the second ball, he pumps straight into the trees. And he comes down with his little peacock chest out and went, "I told you I would do it. Michael Leask."
Michael Leask.
We put about 40 for our stand. And even then, he must have been about 9 or 10. But the kind of abiding memory of the season was I played in the twos because some guy was keeping me out of the first team by bowling right arm spin. And I played with Robert Lamb as the captain of the twos. And I think the guys 2 weeks ago touched on this. We were at Meagle against Paul Harris and Nathan Palmer. And it was a field day. And not very often am I involved in it was a 140-run stand where I come off the pitch with 26 not out. And probably in my whole time, I've never seen such just clean hitting. And I think the guy said he put Paul Harris for three sixes. I think it was more than that. I'm almost certain he hit Paul Harris for three sixes and an over because it was phenomenal. It was never more pleasurable standing on your bat just watching this happen. So the season was good. I think we had a really good season in the twos and it probably set my Stony Wood love affair on the road.
So who was that you were batting with then?
Robert Lamb, Berger.
Berger. Yeah, Berger. No, I've heard stories about Berger.
It was just the most phenomenal. It was great.
Which year was that, Regan? Which year was that?
2003. Either 2003 or 2004, mate. No, 2003. Because I played in the ones in 2004. It was my first season at Stony Wood.
Was it? Okay.
All right, okay. So I suppose we'll just get into the memorable moments and the funny stuff. Who wants to go first, really? We'll start with our teammates then. Just local guys. We'll go into overseas later. Any stories?
Well, I think I want to use one because George will appreciate this because there's probably more. These stories will now come out. He is overseas, not as in a cricketer, but he was an overseas guy. And a lad that came to uni with us called Sanjeev Datadin. And I think you'll be watching this, so you might enjoy it. Sanjeev came across and he was doing a PhD in law, I think.
MSc in law.
MSc in law. See, George is the uni expert. That's 5 years of academia for you.
Exactly.
And Sanjeev came across and he'd said, I'd scored a century every year in Guyana. And he was one of those guys, he had a lot of time, a lot of stories, a bit older than us as well. And of course, playing cricket with him, he couldn't hit the ball off the square. And I just think, Jesus, come on. So we had two occasions where I thought was interesting, where he said to me, I'm actually a better tennis player than I am a cricketer. And I thought, well, I'll play you. I think we played for a few quid, a couple of beers probably. And he said, oh, I'm really good. And the first game we played, I served to love. And I thought, well, here we go again. You know, Sands, 100 every year. He then trounced me 6-1, 6-love. And I think I hadn't hit the ball twice. But even better, when we graduated in 2004, he said to myself and two other Stony players, Peter Irvin and Robert Judge, do you want to come down to watch the West Indies versus England? I'll get the tickets. So that was fine. I was living in Edinburgh at the time. So they picked me up on the way down. And we go down in the car to Manchester. And he says, I've got us VIP passes with the West Indian Cricket Board. And I have to say, Sanj, I've never said this to you to this moment. I really didn't believe it. So we get out of the car, we get into Old Trafford, and he walks up and goes, Sanjeev Datadin, I believe you got four tickets for me. I'm like, right, he's paid for four tickets. So these four tickets come across, in we walk, and the first person we see is Gus Logie. And Sanj goes, Gus, how you doing? And he goes, all right, Sanjeev. I thought, oh my God. So we then walked in, we met everybody famous. I was sitting behind Dwight York and his girlfriend. There was a Corey Collymore was bowling. There's some West Indian film star in the front. And lo and behold, Sanj actually ruined our night because the West Indian boys want to go for a few beers, but Sanjeev's phone was off.
So I can bet that one. Because you're on Sanjeev, I can
bet
it. So Sanjeev has always said, you know, if there's any cricket anytime in the West Indies, you guys should come. I'll put you up, sort you guys out. And then I think it was 2007 World Cup was in the West Indies. And Sanjeev is from Georgetown, Guyana. And Guyana is in mainland South America. But it's part of the West Indies for cricket and stuff. And so Pete Irvin and a couple of other people, Matt Lovegrove, God knows where he is these days, Rob Peacock and Daniel Hunter, we all flew down via America, got there. And I kid you not, the guy rented out this massive place, put us up in that place for the whole week. His law firm, who's got people who kind of dust the busybodies in the law firm, came and made sure there's always stuff like food, drink. I think I drank more rum than water while I was there. And he actually had a VIP box at the stadium as well. And there was a game every other day. And yeah, so he took, you know, we had tickets in the bank as well, but every other game we got to go into the box and see. And it's just like you walk into the game, you get breakfast served while the team is warming up. Get to see that. And there's rum there with rum and coke waiting for you if you want a rum in the morning. And then you got lunch, you got after the game, you got dinner and more drinks. And then you went on. And it was pretty, and then typical kind of, you know, if you think of foreign countries like India and if it's a lot of Indian influence in Guyana as well, people invite friends over. So like if you're visiting India, people of my family say, I'll bring them over to our house for dinner, blah, blah, blah. So we've been going to many places, you know, Sanjeev's family, friends for food and dinner. And we were like wrecked. I mean, we were so hungover, tired. And he said, oh, we're going to go meet somebody today. And we're like, oh, not another uncle or someone. And so we were like, you know, but the food and the people are amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. And then you know, we walk into this house and they're very casual, go to the gate, not the front, go to the side door. So you walk in, and I'm like kind of hungover, and I walk in, and I see this man, I say, hey, hi, how's it? And I walk in, and I go, hang on, took a step back. It was Chris Gayle. And I'm like, walked in. It was Sarwan's house. And Sarwan's mum was giving us food. The entire West Indian cricket team was there. Brian Lara, Dwayne Bravo, Sarwan, Gayle, the whole team. And we were like,
do you know, George, it's funny because Pete Irvine is the most starstruck man on earth. Because do you remember about the guys in Old Trafford? He wouldn't shake his hand after Geoffrey Boycott shook it. And Pete tells a story in the West Indies where he was in the fridge getting a beer. And this guy said, oh, can you get me a beer? And Pete went, yeah, no problem. Hand the beer, it was Brian Lara. And Pete just went. So he likes to tell that story. I do hope if he's watching, he has washed his hand since 2004 with shaking Geoffrey Boycott.
It was amazing. And then, Lara, like that night, we were in the main hotel where all the players had put up for the bar. And Lara actually saw us in one table, one corner. And he was there to meet the England team and the Sri Lanka team. But he walked all the way around, came and said, how is it to us? And then went and spoke to Flintoff. And we were like...
That's ace. I've never heard of that guy, actually. That's cool.
Unbelievable.
Any others for locals before we get on to the overseas, which I reckon with the juice?
We've had lots of kind of guests who have come for a short period of time. Another guy I went to uni with, a guy called Ash Taylor, English yes. guy from Cheltenham.
Awesome, mate.
Yeah, oh great, mate. Yeah. Ash Taylor was a really good cricketer, but he's one of these guys that things just never really worked out I think it was a season they played for or two. He had a couple of good knocks, but I remember one game, and the game is memorable on its own, but the after game is even more memorable. So Ash was very much, he's a good looking boy, he had all the gear, you know, he was always the best dressed in the club. And we're not just comparing to Mike Lowe, let's be honest, he was actually the best dressed. So Ash had gone out, we're playing Dunfermline. And what was the pro, the Pakistani pro?
Waqas Ahmed.
Waqas Ahmed. Now, Waqas was a bit like... But he was a Akram to me, right-handed, but he was quick and tall, proper cricketer. And everyone goes out with a helmet. Not old Ash. Ash goes out and he's got his flat cap on, as if he's off to the village green. And Waqas is coming in with the wind behind him. And the thing I'll never forget is he bowled a couple of balls which Ash had left. And the third ball, fourth ball he faced, he went down on one knee and just paddled him back up, just back in round six. On one knee, flipped him back over, and I thought, oh my God. Now, that might have been a catalyst to the second part of the story, because talking about all the good gear, he had bought himself, I think, a Golf GTI. So we're showing our age here a bit, KP. These were big.
No, he had a Renault. He had a Renault Clio. It was a brand new Renault.
You're right, George. It was a brand new Renault Clio. See, I mean, he does this all the time. It's really the story.
George is just here to back up your fact.
But of course, this was Ash's kind of best game for us. I think he scored like 35. And we'd won the game, and we started having a few drinks. You know, we have our fines meeting. Ash was on fine just for everything, and he then decides he was going to drive home, but he couldn't do that. But he wasn't leaving his car at the club, mate. No way, mate. So I think Lammy said, "Look, I'll drive it in. I've not had a drink. Nobody drives my car." Okay,
I offered as well because I hadn't drank that night for
some. Yeah, so a few guys weren't pissed because they weren't on death, and. So Ash decides he'll do it himself. So he slowly goes round the corner to the big gates at the front of the ground. And he's driving, and all you hear is as he drives, side of the gate, side of the car, and he kept on going. Now, the thing was, he had that moment as a drunk man who went, oh, this is really bad. But I don't feel too bad because I'm absolutely hammered. So he continued and drove the car in and parked it. And when he came up the next day, I think it was about 500 quid worth of damage. It was a sobering experience. So I remember that as someone who'd come to the club and made an impression.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many, like I remember Asmat Iqbal, who captained the uni, Sri Lankan guy, skiddy bowler, opened bowling for uni, got dozens of wickets for uni, played for the Uni Dice for a few years. Very nice guy. Who else? I'm thinking that same season when we talk about Ash's season is the year that Lammy turned 40. I don't remember. We all went down to Edinburgh for a game, remember? And then it was Ash's birthday the Sunday because we played the game on Saturday. We stayed down there. Lammy had just had seeing her that year and stuff. So he went off, I think, the evening after the game, but then came back the next day. And remember the hotel we were staying in? Brian, we finished every bottle of Magnus they had, and we went through a lot of Magnus. Remember that?
Yeah.
And then Ash couldn't drink because he was driving. It was his birthday. I said, "Look, Ash, I'm happy I'll drink. I will drive." But no. Nobody knows my car. And yeah, that was another story that reminds me of that from that year. Paddy Statelow was that year as well.
Paddy was good. There was Darren Nagel, which we'll come to for the overseas guys. There's been, I think, Mario Ulafir was another one. I was only say a bit on camera. The man was known as the windmill. But you
I've heard this. I was gonna prep you, actually. I've heard a few stories about this man, and I don't know. And none should be repeated in public.
No, I don't think so. But all I can tell you is he was only third in his family, behind his dad and his grandpa.
Think of stories. I mean, locals. You know, Elton Willemser won. I remember Jan's year. You know, when Jan joined, came across from Sony with Dice. Oh, sorry, from Shire and joined Sony with Dice. I think it was the year he was the captain. I think after second or third, he was the captain. And then, you know, typical back in the day, driving away, everyone was driving away. And yeah, and Elton used to stay in some flat on Holborn Street. And the guy was so unorganized. I mean, you got to pick him up, everything. And he wouldn't even pick up the phone and get him to organize. But anyway.
Well, Elton?
Elton.
You know, I wouldn't have put Elton down for that. But.
And then, so everyone's gone, and I'm with Jan. And then, because I used to live down the road from Jan at university, and he used to live on Leslie Road back then. And we hit Stonehaven. All the other cars have gone ahead, you know. And then everyone's like, somehow we came to realize no one's talked about Elton today. And we were like, where's Elton? We called the bugger. He was still in his bloody bed back in Aberdeen. So Jan had to take a turn back from Stonehaven, go back, get him, and then head down. And God almighty, the baboon face was out.
The baboon face.
The other story I remember is a couple of guys have, you know, Mo, a guy, a Pakistani guy, not Kashmiri guy, he's in the Middle East now. He went to uni, came, played a few games for us. One game, we were meant to go to air like 6 o'clock in the morning. He was meant to turn up for his game. Can't get hold of him, nothing. We got Kiddo instead. Kiddo came down with us in air in the end to help us out. He came with Kevin Maver. And turns out he was in the police cells because he got into a fight the night before on a night out. You know, we had Gavin Morrison, a Kiwi guy who came for 2 years to work as a plumber in Aberdeen, and he played for us as a kind of a local, but not a proper local, if that makes sense. And one time he got so drunk on a night out, the night before, we couldn't get hold of him either. He was in the Alcoholic Anonymous safe house, and then we had to go get him from there and then take him. And then the poor bugger, I'll never forget this, he was so hungover. We're playing somewhere in Glasgow, and then he got there, and he had this first time he got a good knock. He's always looked good, but never had a big score. And he got, it was very close to a 50, and it's like, I'm finally contributing to this team. And the game got rained off. The guy was in bits because he didn't even get a score.
KP's another good one as well. I'm not sure George will like me telling you this, but when George was such a diligent captain, and you know him well. And we had started the season really badly. I think we'd won maybe one of the first six or seven. We'd been rained off for a good few games in May, and we got to July, to June. And George insisted we had an extra session, midweek session. So we trained Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that was fine. And I think most of the team were pretty bought into it. And I remember, because it was my wedding anniversary, that we were training on a Wednesday night rather than me going out for a nice meal and a glass of wine because my captain was in a bad mood. And somebody had ploughed a ball into the airport. So George being George, I think he'd been hit for the six.
Again, your story's wrong. It was
No, this is wrong.
No, it was Matty Collins here. He was second team captain.
It was a Wednesday. So into the airport for six.
I was.
George jumps over the side, gets the ball, as we've done for years. So about 10, 15 minutes later, a whole host of blues and twos. So I'm in the next bowl and thinking, wow, something's going on here. It was the 7-7 bombings that happened in London about a couple of days or even that day. I can't remember.
Two, three weeks ago.
Time. So next thing, all these special cops pull up at People's Park. Next thing, he's huckled into the back of the van.
I didn't lie. Oh, my God.
No, you were, George.
No, I wasn't.
But you spent the night in the cells.
No, I didn't. You need to write stories for Hindi movies, you masala queen. So far from the truth.
Well, that's that. This is listen,
what happened?
This is how the legend goes. You were taken away for breaking a red, I think it was a red alert, a red zone of the airport, because nobody had thought of telling the airport we were training on a Wednesday. So our captain got huckled.
No, it wasn't. So let me correct the facts now. I'll give you the facts now. I wasn't the captain. It was Matty Cohen's year. He was the second team captain, and the seconds were struggling. We weren't winning at all. Organized exercise on a Wednesday. And it was just after the 7/7 bombings in London. The whole country was on high alert. The cameras were always there. But on that day, when I jumped and got the ball, of course, you know, when we do that, it triggers the emotional.
Yeah,
You come up on the main screen saying, oh, that feed becomes a main view. So the clown who was watching the main view saw me and clearly panicked, thinking, if I don't do something about this, something happened, it would be crazy, right? And to make it worse, I had just shaved my head and had this big beard as well. So I was.
And your earring. Don't forget this.
I had a earring as well, which is funny enough. Next thing you know, I pick up the ball, jump the fence back out. Anyone finished walking from the fence till the middle to bowl, there was about 4 or 5 squad cars out there. the special ops person in charge, and then who went over the fence, blah, blah, blah. And there was AB there, Matty Cohen there. AB did an AB and just very quiet to see if the club wouldn't get any fines for it and just kept quiet. And then they came and spoke to me and they realized it was just complete farce. But they said, no, we're not going to take you in or anything. They didn't handcuff me. But we need you to come into this. We need you to come in that evening to the police station to give you fingerprints, and we have to submit the case to the procurator fiscal, who will then decide to prosecute or not. That was the real story, Cregan.
Yeah, I think he's dialing this back because he's got a very good career now. he's wanted in 7 districts of Scotland for crimes against the state.
I prefer your story, Creed.
Of course you do.
That's good. So on to overseas then. We've had some belting overseas over the years, haven't we?
We have. I mean, I think what's been good, I think the club have always really vetted. I think what George was saying, Sanger was the first pro that I had played with since I'd been in South Africa. So he was a very driven, it was all about playing cricket. But we've had, our pros have kind of been mixed and matched, and some have come for a second season, had a bit of fun, some have been really hell-bent, and then we went down the route of the amateurs as well. But I have to say that my favourite pro, I have two really, because we're pretty friendly, is Paddy Statler and Darren Nachol, because Darren and I became pretty close as pals. But Paddy, just to explain one story, I mean, I've faced some really good bowling and fast bowling, and I've watched some really fast bowling. But we had a game against Greenock in the Scottish Cup.
At home.
I've never been so scared in my life. We were basically playing against the Scotland 11, because Greenock at the time were rumoured, to have been paying a few guys. So Craig Wright, Dave Alknell, Richie Berrington, Stanger.
Asim Butt.
Peter Watts. So it was like a who's who.
Yeah.
So we'd been bowled out for 130 or 140. And Mike was captain, I was vice captain, and I decided I'm going to feel myself at second slip. Not a position I feel that too often. And I've never seen a quicker spell in my whole life live. And I remember turning to Mike, and I'm sure he would say the same. We both said, I hope that no one nicks this. Because I thought, if someone nicks this, I'm dead. If it comes to me, I'm not seeing this. Because it was just so fast. He was also the moodiest bowler in the world. He was one of the most lovely men on earth.
So who is this? Sorry, Paddy.
Paddy Statler.
He came off as a coach. He was like a coach, a player, mm-hmm. like a coach player, you know, because we rather got coaches who could play cricket. So we kind of did that shift because we had Sangram, who was like the proper pro, but he was a good coach as well. Like, he helped Scott Redhead, a few of the young kids back in the day. I'd say young kids like Fiona, Scott Redhead, I would imagine Ian Brand, all those guys in that back in the day. And then we went for amateurs. You know, so we had Darren and Mario amateurs, and then we went, we'll get coaches, and we had, you know, Paddy, and we had someone called Russell in between, who was a really good coach as well. Mm-hmm. But that game, I remember Paddy was fuming, because I think the our ones were in Division 1, and this was a Prem team, Greenock, and they were winning all the time, because, you know, pretty much the national team. And Yeah, and he got really wound up the way we got out cheaply. Because he I think he even top scored that game.
Paul Flanagan. So, Flanagan's top score with 21 or 22.
Did he nick it in the end? Did anyone nick it in the end?
No. The one thing I do remember is Dave Rosie was bowling, and there was a guy called some Arnott, and he was one of their, well, I suppose in that team, one of their lesser players, but a brilliant player. But I've never seen a six hit so far. Queen's Green had like a housing estate, and I still swear, someone, they never find that ball again. The guy hit this ball an absolute mile, and we were never in it because the guy, Stanger, at the time was maybe 34, 35, maybe even older. He had 100 Scotland caps, really clever, knew how to chase down, 120. Mm-hmm. And then the guy Arnott just teed off. We were just never in it. But Paddy was I think he helped a lot of the youngsters because they really kind of bought into him. And those two guys and Darren, the year with Darren and Mario, we actually had a really good year. And it ties into maybe some of the other stories, but that was our first ever coloured kits game at Arbroath, and they were there. I thought Mario was a very unlucky pro. He was a young amateur. He was a young guy, I think, who had come to Scotland and still was missing being back home. And he was very fast. You have to remember, he was only the third South African to take 10 wickets in an innings in first-class cricket in South Africa. But when he came to us, he was a bit of a dream for some of the really good batsmen on wickets that were a bit sticky. He'd kind of bend his back and the ball would sit up and he'd be hit. But I think he came back to Carlton a few years ago and had a very successful time there. I think age was a big difference, and that maybe the experience in Scotland that he had at the start helped him. Lovely guy. And I think we've always had nice guys that have come across.
You remember Darren and Mario and Dickie, and they were like only 18 and 19. Yeah. Remember? They were very young.
Yeah, they were young.
Darren was like, I remember Nachal was like, he took over the captaincy from Sean halfway through the season as well. And the guy was a phenomenal cricket brain, like for an 18-year-old. Bloody hell.
Really mature guy. Really
he was a very good captain.
In everything.
Yeah, he was good. And we had a colour clothing game. And it was great with the white ball and everything. So it was that's memorable.
So the favourite stories then of the overseas each year? What one story each?
For the overseas?
Yeah. If you've got any story, just any night of nights out of games of, I don't know, anything.
Well, I can tell you a bit about, it's not really a night out, but when I think Lammy had mentioned about getting Elton a job in the last podcasts. But I got Paddy a job. I used to be the manager of NatWest, and Paddy needed to make some extra money. And he was 6'3", tanned. He had I call it a microphone head, but it was obviously part of the, I'm just jealous. And I got my job on my customer service desk. And I would say our branch has never been that busy. It was never that busy before. And it was never that busy when he left. Women would just come in. They loved him. Absolutely loved him. Very professional, but that's probably about it. Most of the AMs and pros that I played with kept themselves to themselves. They weren't the biggest drinkers. Old Paddy liked the turbo shandy.
Here's a story that reminds me. Nathan Palmer. And
that's
his...
a different story.
We used to have proper fights after every home game back then. I kid you not. So we used to have another big Well, we don't have them anymore. We have the pitches we serve juice in. We used to have bigger ones.
And
it'll take about maybe 5 or 6 tins of beer or lager, poison of your choice. And at some point, for sure, every Fines meeting, he would end up downing an entire one in one go. Jeez. I mean, the entire pitcher.
He's also probably the worst influence of any human being ever. And I can tell from one story. I was going to a 30th birthday. It was whatever it was, 2005, 2006. And I'd said the whole game, guys, I need to go straight after the game is done. So in typical fashion, I think I scored 0 off 1 ball. I'd taken 0 for 30 off maybe 6 balls. So I'm getting changed. He went, no, we're having a fines meeting. I said, well, I need to go. I said this already. No, you're coming for fines and you're on death. So at the time, I don't know if things have changed, but on death, you had to drink a tin every 2 minutes. That seems pretty easy. I can do that, no problem. However, you keep on drinking tins till you spew. I think he had a limit of about 10 tins. So I got to about 7, spewed, and was going out to this really fancy restaurant with my wife and some friends who were a little bit more conservative. So when I rocked up 3 sheets, and I don't remember much of the night after that, but I do remember it was a bad influence. And also, I remember his nickname was Spanky. We had a party at mine, and the house was dry afterwards, and that rarely happened. He was a demon. He was a demon of a man. We had so many good laughs.
Yeah.
So,
he's a changed man now. He's a changed man. Lives in America now.
Exactly.
And do you remember Fabulous Sean Fabe? You know, he came across from South Africa, but he lived in Aberdeen for a couple of years. So then, you know, he was a young lad, Fabulous, but now he works for Emirates, you know, as a cabin crew in the first class. Again, you know, he didn't score big runs, but he was consistently in every game. He chipped in with runs for us, didn't he?
George, remember a guy, Jason Hamitaman?
Yep.
Young Aussie guy. He's another good one for you, KP. Again, when I moved from banking to recruitment, AB had contacted me to say, can you try and get Jason a job? So he'd come in, and he was this kind of burly young Aussie kid. And I was asking him some questions about what he wanted to do. And he said, oh, admin stuff. So I can type like 69 words per minute, something like that. I thought, no, you can't. So we gave him a test, and sure as God, he could. And we actually placed him at the prison, at Craig Inch's prison. And they loved him so much by the end of the season, they wanted to try and give him a permanent job. And again, just a really young guy, he was maybe 18, 19. But each of the amateurs, Neil Funfairen would be another one.
Oh my God, yeah.
Cool. You know, just they adapted so well to the club. Mm-hmm. Whether it was living in the caravan or living in a flat, I mean, some really good nights. Ben Henderson,
yeah, I remember him when I was a junior.
You know, he was also a bit of a booze hound.
Remember Wickers Boater?
Rudy.
Rudy.
Yeah.
That's good. No, I remember Hamid Man as a junior, and Henderson. Yeah, I've heard stories about Henderson. So what about favourite games then? Favourite, most memorable games of you both?
There's quite a few. We've got to
mention. Yeah, about to say, George, you've been around more than most.
Yeah, well, Lamy's around longer. So, yeah. That's how you become, you know, people think you're good. You just play it for so long. People go, oh, he must be good. Have to be really good. The colour clothing game comes to mind because I remember that year, for some reason, Arbroath, you know, we could never beat Arbroath. There are a lot of age group guys who played with Sean and Stuart, you know, for the Scotland group. And they always kind of, and there's a spinner, offbeat, short guy, really a midget. Remember him, Stotty?
Short.
Yeah, he bowled the utter garbage, but he always got bloody wickets. And you know, they beat us early on the season, but we're like, no, we should be beating them. And then we had this colour clothing game, and we're doing really well. And in kind of typical fashion, we had a collapse, and there's Cregan and I in the end. You know,
we had them after 45 overs. They were 165 for 6 or 7, and they finished up scoring 65 off of the last 5 overs. Sean Kutzer and Matt Cohen had a real ding dong walking off the pitch.
I
had to throw them into a room each. It kind of imploded a little bit, and then we did have this. But I'm going to jump in because George won't tell the story correctly.
No, I'm going to tell the story right. Hang on. Look, you embellish everything.
No. So this was my best knock in the first with the bat. I remember going out, and I batted at 8 because George had a strop because Darren batted him at 11, and he said that's because you and Brian grew up in South Africa. And no, calm down, George. I'm a better batsman than the lads. Anyhow, Tomo, somebody else, Scott Redhead. No, in fact, Tomo, Scott Redhead, and George. They were 9, 10, and 11, and I was 8. And I said to Tomo at first, we play tip and run. We needed 6 or 7 and over. We play tip and run. You're young, fit. We just go. And we started winding them up because they were thrown at the stumps and missing. We took risks, and both Tomo and Scott were run out. And we came to the last over. And it was me and George, and we needed 4 to win off 4 or 5 balls. And the guy, Craig Anderson, played for Scotland Youth, and he's pretty good, but his cut came in, and George Chinese cuts him. And the ball, there's no one down at final leg, and the ball goes
a across. Square leg.
And it, no, it was not a square leg.
It was deep square leg. It was
fine leg. And he step runs around going, I meant it. Yeah. And what he said to me the other day actually was, he didn't mean he meant it to Chinese cut. He meant to put the ball in that area. The question I have, KP, to George, if you're trying to drive, is that what you're trying to do? You try the
how, do you drive to square leg, Keegan? Come on.
You drove and you...
I was trying to play towards it because they had it. Anyway, they had this field.
It was nothing like that.
Set up. He drove. That I was going to hit down the ground. And only I couldn't hit for toffee down the ground.
Oh, so
big gap there.
There, went there. But anyway, it was...
Book says four, we won the game.
Exactly, cover driving the book.
Yeah, well, I think it was also a bit of breaking the hoodoo against our broth, as George says. Yeah. And what was really good was the game was a pretty big deal because it was the coloured kits.
What was the point of that? Was it an actual cup or was it just for coloured kit?
Try and make, I suppose, Scottish one-day cricket a bit more exciting than just the whites. And Megan Kutzer, God bless her, she got, we had these blue and white tops, and she got
Primark.
A number.
Ironed on.
Yeah, and ironed on the back. I mean, mine is still, I've still got mine.
I should have my top as well.
Yeah, it was just so much fun. And I think it was a game where we were well ahead, we went behind, we're well ahead, we went behind. And one of those games, when you're chasing likes of 225, 230, and you're struggling at 180 for six or seven to get across the line, doesn't happen as much as when, you know, it's more often than not, you won't get across the line. And we did. And I think it was a really good day.
Yeah, that's good.
There was a 3-2-4 as well, remember, in Dundee High.
Yeah.
No, that's my favourite. I've got my champagne moment trophy from Alan Barron, my tennis bat shot. But the thing is, this lives with me because I think it was so much fun. But really, the real truth of this story is Darren scored 90-odd and Stewie scored 120. But what I remember to start with was Brendan Ford was the pro for Dundee High. And he just tanked us round the park. And I remember bowling to him in the second, the third last over of the game, my second last. And he hit me for a six. And I bowled a ball that jagged back in and missed his stumps. And he went, you're unlucky, but you're going to pay for that. And then the next three balls went back over my head for six. And I thought, oh. And then Stuart Kutzer had his Jacques Callis moment. We walked in the change room. He went, I think they're 50 runs too short. And it was pretty good. And then they just took off. However, we were cruising this game. I'm batting with Mike Lowe. He's on about 35. I'm on about 15. First ball of the last over, needing four. Mike's out. Silly shot. In comes Mr. Ninan.
Oh, God.
I go down to try and give my advice to George.
I was fuming.
Don't worry.
I was fuming. I was really pissed off because I didn't get a ball that game. And then I was batting again lower than Cregan of all people. I was fuming. I was like, you know what? I'm going to sod this bowler. I'm going to take it, finish the game right now. And you got out first ball.
I was for Aberdeen at the time. So he plays this really silly shot and he goes. So now needing four off four balls, in walks young fella David Urquhart.
Urquhart.
Fiona Urquhart's brother, Fiona Penny now. In he comes and he's nervous. So he gets a single. We need three off three. I then leave a ball, believe it or not. Then get a two. And we're needing one off one. But in between times, these two guys come charging on the pitch.
Charging. Oh my
celebrating.
God.
So they come running on.
Random locals.
Random locals, yeah. And they're jumping around. So I walked down because I was at the far end. I said, what are you doing? I didn't say those exact words. There were some expletives. You've just lost the game, blah, blah. So firstly, it would be a draw. And two, it's a get off the pitch. So the umpire was a guy called Gus from Brechin. And he's trying to calm me down. So I'm saying to him, Gus, these guys can't just charge on a field. So this must, for me, it felt like 15 minutes. It might have been two, to be honest. So we after these two guys leave the pitch, I walk down to David and I said, right, whatever we do, we run. He says, what shot are you going to play? And they really crowded me. And I thought, I'm really nervous about getting bored. I said, I don't know. I said, just you run. I said, don't think about anything. So as the guy came in, his name, I can't remember his name, Trivedi, really good bowler, really kind of line and length. I thought, go for it. And the minute he made his finals, I just started running. So I'm running as the striker. And the ball came about shoulder length. I thought, shit, what am I going to do? And I took the bat and smacked it down. And it went straight down into the ground as David ran past me. And we got through for the single. And I really felt it was a tennis shot until AB said to me, it was a proper tennis shot you played. You just kind of went, pop. And of course, me being me, instead of, I could see everybody charging on. I had two thoughts. One was to go after these two guys to celebrate, which I did. But two, Matty Cohen was running at me at a speed of knots. And I thought, this can't happen. I'll be dead. So, but it has to go down as playing cricket for 35 years as the moment we just as a team, we were great to a man. And I think the drama just made it more fun. I think it's probably Stu and Darren could have finished that off pretty easily. And it'd be a very different story, a very nice story, rather than the drama that kind of came with it.
No, that's a belter. I've heard about that one. Imagine chasing 325 nowadays, you know, we'd be...
Well, somebody beat us not that long ago. Someone chased down 340 or 350, because that was the record. That was the Scottish record that we had chased down.
Yeah, no, that I couldn't even imagine getting anywhere near chasing 300. I mean, we've been hit for some big scores. So, Georgie, what about your champagne moment then? We've had a Cregan champagne moment. You must have a few over the years.
I mean, it's hard to pick. You know, there's so many, if you look at individual games, there's been so many close games that we've won and we've lost and all that. But for me, one thing I always remember is we had a run as a first team a few years ago when I was captain. And it was the year when they kind of brought East and West together as a top league team, as a top league of about 20, large number of teams. And then kind of split the leagues. The league split up. But anyway, this particular year, we had a phenomenal team. We had Gordon Gowdy, Jan Stander, Elton Williamson, Scott Redhead, Ali Gill, Michael Leask, Grant Jameson, William Anderson. It was just, it was just phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. And we had a couple of really good amateurs. We had Jared, who was like a Kiwi, but kind of local because he's working there. And we had, we had a keeper, batsman, forget his name now, from Kiwi as well. And so we had this phenomenal team. And we went on a run where we went to the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, unbeat. And then on top of that, we went, I think it was 10 or 11 games unbeaten in the season. So mm-hmm. So that run for me was special. For 3 months, we didn't get beat at all. We played T20 games, we won, cup games, league games, nonstop. We were just winning everything. And then the run came to an end, sadly, when... it was Elton, Gordon, and Jan got a call up. They had a game the next day or something for one of the regional squads, so they couldn't play the Saturday or Sunday, so whichever day the cup game was. And then we lost to Stirling in the semi final, and it was very kind of one of those things where if they were there, we would have steamrolled them. And funnily enough, I kind of chuckled to myself, and this boy came, "Why you just threw away the Scottish Cup, mate? Why are you laughing?" I said, "Well, just the realization." I said, "Because I know if I had my full team, we would walk all over you." And he said, yeah, whatever. And then we had them in the league a few weeks later up in Aberdeen. And it was the same Saturday as Stewie's wedding. So Stewie wasn't available. He was getting married. But we were going to the reception afterwards at Glen Tanner. And we batted first and we scored like nearly 300 or something like that. And then we just bowled one for cheap. And then the same guy walked after the game, shook and said, "See what I mean?" So that's for me is a special one to give him back.
That must be so frustrating though, because we could have won the Scottish Cup that year, could we? Really?
Yeah, and then we could have won the league as well. So yeah. We lost against Drumpelly at home, and we dropped their pro at 50 odd. He went to score 100 and got a 5-4. If he'd won that game, it would have been between Arbroath, somebody else, and us. So we ended up being third in the league and lost the cup semi-final. So that was the closest I felt we got to.
Because I was actually going to ask Mike and Lamy, but we've had such a good team. There was, maybe 4 years, the ones you're talking about there, we had an ace team. And to not win in is probably a bit of an injustice. But
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just goes to, we're close.
I think as well, that we've always struggled from how far we've got to travel. Mm-hmm. And you maybe don't think it, you know, we don't think of that of a game day. But when you're traveling to Ayr, Dumfries, you're traveling across, you know, down to Edinburgh, Glasgow, you know, we're in a minibus at 6 in the morning. It's fine for kind of the Edinburgh and Glasgow teams who they play two Aberdeen teams. I would say it's the same for Shire as well. But it does, it's definitely a harder away day when you've been in a bus for 3 hours. Mm. And I don't think in my time at Stonewood Dice we ever spoke about that. But, you know, I do think if you think about that psychologically, physiologically, it does take its toll a little bit, especially towards the end of a season when you're doing so much travelling.
Yeah, no, absolutely, yeah, right. That's probably why they put it to east and west, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So any last stories then before we round up?
Yeah, I've got one because I want to embarrass this person. So, yeah, sort of some favourite memories.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a an excellent night out to one night. So when we used to play Dumfries years ago, we would stay over. And they had a pro, and not everyone remembers this guy, a guy called Graham Beveridge, Bevo. He was not the best cricketer in the world, but a bloody hard cricketer, an Aussie. And Bevo was the best host in the world. And Bevo and I got on pretty well. So we went to Dumfries, and Bevo was getting all the drinks in. So we're getting pretty boozed up. And Mr. Martin Reed, I hope you're watching, Marty, decides to do a Martin. Now, Martin used to be a little bit naughty when a few drinks were going. So we're in this club in Dumfries, and it's not the most salubrious of establishments. And Martin's running around hitting people and just having a laugh and being an all-round pain in the arse. And he decides, well, this girl who's about 5'4", 5'5", with short, spiky hair, which was white or blonde, to pour some vodka and Coke on the top of her head. To which this woman grabbed him by the throat and picked him up right against the wall. I've never seen a guy go so white so quickly, because she went from being this normal person to the world's strongest woman. And Martin, you could see the colour just drain from his face. And it was a comeuppance, because about 3 weeks beforehand, I got slapped in espionage because he was walking around slapping people and they thought it was me. So it was a great comeuppance to see Marty get that from the smallest woman in the whole club. And we had some good days out and good nights out that, didn't always result in that.
And then last, to end on Georgie?
No, I was just thinking back, you know, we used to have so many players in depth, and I remember there was this 2020 league where the uni team, you know, the university was doing so well that the university had a team of their own in the 2020 league with, was the Malik Cup, but it was Shire, Stonewood Dice, University, and Great Select. And, you know, so Shire had their pro, Stonewood Dice had a pro, we used to get a pro as well, who was like an amateur, the second team amateur from Shire, because they used to have two players or three players back in the day. And this is one year where quite a few of us would play first team because Stonewood Dice played in that team, because, you know, Jan was the captain. It's like, look, it means that we can get more players playing anyway, so you play in the uni team anyway. And we beat Stonewood Dice, the uni team, and it was an interesting game. Let's put it that way. There's a few select words said by said players and stuff. But I think, just listening back to what you said, Cregan, I think for me, what comes back to me is the camaraderie we used to have back then. Okay, you know, we were all very young and naive, and maybe we, partake in the spirits of it too much, you know. But I think there was that kind of a bond that was formed, you know, playing for each other and mates, which kind of came through. I think we all played better than we were in, you know what I mean? Like, we were better as a group than individually, if that makes sense. We had a few key players, like, you know, who were phenomenally good, but as a group, kind of achieved more than what we would have individually.
Yeah. No, that's good. So lastly, I suppose, unless you've got any more stories, Kriegs.
No, I think I'm storied out. Can you believe it? I was going to tell George, I wasn't telling about your barbecue at university, but...
Oh, my God. Mention
that, do you?
That was a funny one, yeah.
That was good. Well, let's finish on that then, because it embarrassed George.
So, lastly, I suppose we'll just talk about the legend game. So.
I can get this right, because he can't remember. He's lucky I'm still talking to him. But George has always been a wonderful host, really much, so much so. He once came to my flat and cooked a lovely Indian meal for us. Never forget that. But he had when he was at uni, it was his 16th year and my fourth. So a lot of the boys, it was our last year together as a team. And George invited us down at Easter time for a barbecue on the banks of the Don. George had given up drink for Lent. And I mean, you know what he's like. He loves a drink. So takes us down. He's got all this wonderful food and we all go down. And the day was lovely. It was warm. But George, all of a sudden, two drinks in, is now a little bit... So he then stands on this kind of big rock and decides to jump off for some unknown reason, lands on a smaller rock and does his ankle in, but then keels over. So he's lying there, kind of out a little bit. So we all think this is funny. But as this happens, the heavens open. So we're now in this embankment. There's no stairs to go up this kind of little embankment. So there's about 10 people there. My wife, so some of the guys' girlfriends were there. And said, well, we've got this idea. And I think it was Pete Irvin said, you're the biggest guy here, Brian. Put George on your back and climb up the embankment. And I had these new shoes on and new jersey and stuff. I thought, well, no.
Pete's idea. No, you did the peacock thing and said, I'm Brian Cregan.
I didn't say that. I'm not Kerry. It's you, for God's. I'm not stupid. So they put him on my back. Someone were pushing my backside up the hill. Someone trying to pull me up the hill. So as we get to the top, and then I'm now caked in mud. He's sick all over me. All over me. So we put him to bed. And the good thing about this story, KP, is it proves that I end in a high. He can't remember. So this could be absolute lies. It's not. But we loved it. And again, I think just to end with what you're saying, George, what was good, that kind of shows we were, a lot of guys in the uni team who came to Stonywood, it was very much for playing with friends. And as the club, the guys, Lammy and Mike said, that kind of family, you know, kind of community atmosphere. And the reason I never went to Shire was I loved the time at Stonywood.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good way to end as well, Georgie. Still the butt of the jokes even these days, Georgie. Anyway, so we'll end on talking about the Legends game, obviously hoping, if everything's well, hopefully by September, will you be back to defend your crown as the Legends?
Absolutely.
Any new recruits after Gowdy carried you last year?
Well, no, the thing was, Gowdy was only my second reserve. It's when my first reserve shows up and he can make it. Mr. K. Kutzer. No, it was great. I mean, the old guys in Gowdy, you know, yeah, one man could have beaten you, the other 10 couldn't. But no, I think it was really good. And from watching again Lammy and Mike's podcast, the comments, the kind of messages as well, that please, guys, if you can get across and, you know, this situation has changed, it would be great to have, you know, even 22 guys. We could play a couple of 2020s, because I think that the club needs the old guys to come back where we can and kind of keep it going, because it's been so much fun, as you've heard, you know, this evening, for what we've had over the years. And I thought the body is not willing anymore, certainly in my case. But the mind is, and I think the banter is just great fun. So hopefully this year we thump you again.
No, you're spot on. I mean, I was reading down the comments before this, and like, you know, Stuart Kutzer, Elton, David Lamb. There's heaps of folks speaking about it. So it would be good if obviously everyone came out, and as you say, if we can get a current team and then a few Legends teams, you could play T20s and. Yeah. It was one of the best days of the year.
So, yeah, absolutely. And you never know. Some of you might come out of retirement.
Maybe. I don't know if you want that. Unless Gordon's moving back to Aberdeen. The other 10, I think there was obviously Jan, Elton and George were playing, but I think the other 6 or 7, you might want to think about not mentioning that.
Anyway, that's all for this week. What an episode, guys. That was really good. That was really fun. Thanks for coming on, telling your stories.
You're welcome.
I'm sure it'll be a good listen. So
a good trip down memory lane.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
And cheers, George.
Cheers.